We look to Thee tonight, that Thou wouldst meet the needs of our hearts as we look into Thy Word. We praise Thee for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text tonight is Matthew 18:15-20. We'll be reading that just a little bit later. Our title is Increasing Our Problems. Now, I don't know how many here have had an experience of, say, a ruptured appendix at 3 o'clock in the morning and driving through the main street of town at 60 miles an hour, trying to get to the hospital in time, or maybe a similar experience to that. Not very enjoyable, really, at the time. But one advantage of those experiences is they give us excellent topics of conversation for many, many years afterwards. We get all of our mileage out of those experiences. The same is true of the conflicts that come into our lives, the problems. They're not very enjoyable. We fall here into a great danger of doing too much talking about them. And conflicts sometimes, especially when they are with other people, become the source of spicy conversations that we can use to talk to everybody except the people who are actually involved. The result of this is that our conflicts get greater and greater. The problem becomes bigger and bigger because we just spread it around. Now, there are three ways we'd like to talk about tonight that our problems get bigger. The Lord, during this past week, hit me right between the eyes with all three of them. If you find tonight that any of them are in any way applicable to you, don't feel badly, just join the crowd. Because these are ways that we just seem to naturally cause our problems to become greater than what they really need to be. And so tonight I'd like to have us consider these problems, not the problems themselves, but the ways in which we cause these problems to increase. Once again, we'd like to ask ourselves some questions then. As we are facing a conflict, a problem, we need to ask ourselves, regarding this specific problem, is the conflict more complicated than it should be because you have been disloyal? Now, Proverbs 16:28 says, a whisperer separateth chief friends. That means if you want to cause divisions amongst people, all you have to do is start talking too much. And especially talking about the wrong things. And this is the way that you can very easily split up even old-time friendships. Now, this disloyalty, perhaps we could give a couple of more definitions here. One form of disloyalty is gossip. I think this is one of the best definitions I've ever heard of gossip. Gossip is sharing detrimental information with those who are not a part of the problem or a part of the solution. You notice, first of all, it says the information is detrimental. I don't know why bad news runs faster than good news, but it seems to do so. And here we have some detrimental information. And gossip, then, is sharing that detrimental information with people who are either not a part of the problem itself, and so should be talked to about it, or not a part of the solution, and so can't do anything about it. I remember a few years back, I was at a conference. And during one of the break times, as I was walking around, all of a sudden a man came up to me that I was acquainted with. I don't see very often, hadn't seen for quite some time. He came up to me all puffing and saying, Brother Dykstraus, have you heard anything about Pastor so-and-so having run off with his organist? And I just stood there dumbfounded. And as I was trying to come out of the shock, he said, well, I heard this, and I'm afraid I might run into him here at the conference, and I ought to know this before I have to talk to him. And just like that, he was gone again. Because he saw that I didn't know anything about it. And as I saw him depart down the aisle, all I could think in my heart was, thanks a lot. He deposited in my mind something that he had no idea if it was true at all. And I, as far as I know, wasn't any part of the problem, if there even was a problem. And I didn't see where I was in any way related to the solution. It wasn't really my business. But that was just a choice little piece of gossip that he was just receiving all kinds of excitement from running around and dropping into people's ears. And so detrimental information shared with people who are not related to the problem or the solution is just plain gossip. Another definition that fits into this picture is slander. Now, slander is telling the truth with a design to hurt. Sometimes people justify themselves by saying, well, you know, this is the truth. I'm not spreading something that's not true. This is the truth. I know this is the truth. What is the purpose? We have a little saying regarding information that we pass on, things that we say. First of all, is it true? And second of all, is it nice? Thirdly, is it necessary? And basically, we have that right here. That which we share, the information which we share, is it really true? Is it really nice? And is it really necessary? And if it isn't, then we are complicating our problem by sharing it with people who have no business even knowing about it. What then would be the steps of action? The first step of action is we have to ask ourselves, have I confessed any disloyalty? Have I asked forgiveness for sharing the problem with other people who had no business even knowing anything about it? And somehow or other, information has a way of going in circles. And it will just come right on back to the person regarding whom it was spoken. And so if there's a very clear case that I've been disloyal and I have shared detrimental information, with those who are either not a part of the problem or a part of the solution, then there's a need of gaining forgiveness for disloyalty. The second thing then I need to ask myself, have I purposed to be silent if I can't give a good report? I think there's an area in which we really need to be able to give people the benefit of the doubt. We need to put the best construction possible on every problem and every situation. And putting the best construction possible on the situation, we usually find there's nothing really to talk about. And then perhaps another aspect of this is we can share the things that God is teaching us. First of all, put the best construction possible on every situation, and then share how God is teaching us new and needed lessons. Sometimes we just lack for something to talk about, and something really helpful to talk about is to share what God is doing in our lives. And I think many times our Christian fellowship is limited, because Christian fellowship is basically sharing with others what God is doing in our lives. And if God really isn't doing all that much, we don't have all that much to talk about. And then we fall into the trap of talking about what God ought to be doing in the lives of other people, in our opinion. And that is just exactly what we don't need to be talking about. Philippians 4 and verse 8 gives us an excellent verse along this line. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or venerable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, good news, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And as we think on these things, and then as we share with others those things that are virtuous and praiseworthy, we find we can just have a lot of wonderful things to talk about without having to get into sharing detrimental information with those who have no business knowing anything about it. The second area that we'd like to mention tonight, the second way in which we can complicate our problems, the second way in which we can increase them and make them more complicated, we need to ask ourselves, has the conflict grown because you have avoided taking needed action? And here we have a very important little phrase. Problems don't go, they grow. Now, we like to think that our problems will just go away. But it doesn't work that way. They tend to grow bigger. Similar to the person who finds out that he has cancer, or maybe that suspects he might have some serious disease. The tendency is not to go to the doctor, don't check it out, just hope it'll go away. And doctors have said many, many times there have been people who have come to them with problems that could have easily been solved had the people only gone sooner. But they put it off, they waited, until the problem got to the place where it was just unmanageable. And this is the same thing that's true in our daily lives. We need to ask ourselves, has this conflict gotten larger because I have avoided dealing with it? And here we have our passage in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Here the Lord Jesus is referring to problems in a specific area, the area between brethren, amongst church members. Beginning with verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee then one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now here we have what is commonly referred to as the three basic steps for handling a problem amongst brethren. Actually, I believe here we have four steps. I believe here there are four specific steps for handling problems amongst brethren. First of all, you'll notice in verse 15, he says, go alone to thy brother. There's step number one. Secondly, he says, if he won't hear you, then take someone else with you, two or three other people, that every word might be established. Thirdly, he says, if he still won't hear, then you take it before the church. And the church then will deal with it, and if they determine this is what should be done, they should treat him like a Gentile or like a tax collector, as if he were from Internal Revenue. And then the fourth step here is that the church, there's still no solution, the church then takes it to the Lord. And in verses 18 through 20, we are told that the church takes it to the Lord, and the Lord says, whatever you decide, I will back up. And he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so whatever you ask me to do, I'll do that. Now, we have some scriptural examples of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have the case in the church of Corinth of fornication. It is reported that there is fornication among you, such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in my spirit, Paul says, I'll share this with you, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has said, if there are two or three gathered together in my name, whatever you ask, I'll do it. And this is what they were to ask, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And so he says, you come together and you do what God has told you to do. The Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, what you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven, and we'll turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved, so that this thing will be dealt with." And so the fourth step then is taking it to the Lord. Now, in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, we read, "He that is often reproved hardeneth his heart, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." Now, the reason for this is that a man who has been talked to personally and then talked to by a group of brethren and then talked to by the church itself and still will not listen is a very proud man. You can't tell a proud man anything because he knows it all already. And so the Lord says, when it gets to stage 4, then you just come and ask me what you want me to do. And so we come then to stage 4 and we say, "Now, Lord, here's a man who's been often reproved and he's still hardening his neck, stiff-necked. You said he shall be suddenly cut off and that without remedy, and so we're asking you to do what you said you would do. And turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the body, that the spirit might be saved." Now, as in all other things, the devil imitates scripture principles, and we have in the heathen tribes customs, for example, of making a little doll, and they stick a pin in that little doll that represents a certain person, and the man dies. Which is only Satan imitating what God has said is the true power of the Church of Christ, the power of discipline, where there is no other, where all the other solutions fail. And so we need to ask ourselves then, has the problem grown larger than what it should be simply because I have failed to take the needed action? Now, this is true also in our everyday problems, problems of our family. Sometimes family problems get way out of hand because we didn't nip them in the bud and stop them when we were still, when we first realized there was a problem. Now, we do this in love. Paul says that the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. This is done in love, but it must be done. And these are two things that we must make sure that we handle, or else our problems will get larger. Now, the third step we'd like to mention tonight, maybe we haven't really made our problems bigger by disloyalty or by inaction, but maybe the problem actually was from the very beginning bigger than we thought it was, because there were other people involved and we hadn't taken that into consideration. So we need to ask ourselves in the third place, does this conflict indicate that there are more people involved in it than you realize? Now, many times we like to take a very simple solution to our problems, and many times they aren't all that simple. Many times there are other people involved in problems that we have to take into consideration. Sometimes husband, wife, children, friends, church, employer, etc. are also involved in a problem. And we find then we can't just solve that problem in a very simple way without taking into consideration others who are involved in it. A man, for example, who was having many, many problems with the divorced woman that he had married. And he was trying every solution, trying to solve these problems and getting nowhere, until he finally came to the conclusion that he was just trying to deal one-to-one basis between his wife and himself. And he'd forgotten that there were a lot of other people involved in this. Her former husband, all the former in-laws, the children, all of these other people involved in this problem that he hadn't taken into consideration, and that's why he wasn't getting anywhere in trying to solve it. This can be true also in church problems. A pastor took on a new church, and as he went to that church, all the enthusiasm of a new work, determined to give all of his strength that the work might prosper and go ahead, and the people were excited about their new pastor, but it seemed like nothing would work. No matter what they did, they just couldn't seem to grow and experience the blessing of the Lord. Finally, one day, this pastor, as he was talking with one of the older members of the congregation, the matter came up of some of the previous pastors, and it became known to him that one of the previous pastors had been dealt with by the church in a very unfair manner. And as he looked into that further and brought it to the attention of the church agreed that they should call this man and ask his forgiveness for the way in which they had dealt with him. And they did that. And they called him, they asked his forgiveness, they sent him a check for the funds that they had withheld from him that they felt he didn't deserve, but actually it was only right that they give to him. And as they asked his forgiveness and made restitution, God's blessing just came on that work. And here they were facing the problem, you know, why can't we experience God's blessing? They hadn't looked at the fact that there might be other people involved in this problem that also needed to be contacted and dealt with. And so our steps of action then would be, first of all, have you listed all those who are involved in the problem? Whether directly or indirectly, whether it's grieved relatives, friends, all the other people who might be contributing advice to this situation, all other offended individuals, just determine you're going to find out who else might be involved in this problem. And then secondly, we need to ask ourselves, have you contacted each one? Now, in contacting each one, we need to do it with different purposes. We need to determine, first of all, which are the individuals that we need to ask forgiveness of. There are some, perhaps, that are related to the problem, that have been offended, that we need their forgiveness. Perhaps others have not been offended, but we need to ask their counsel. They've been related to the problem, and they might know some aspects of it that we don't realize. They might be able to point out some blind spot that we have that we just haven't considered a part of it at all. And we need to ask their counsel. Perhaps others related to the problem we need to show appreciation to. Perhaps there are others that have really tried to be helpful, and we've been so concerned with the problem we haven't appreciated what others have done. Perhaps others that we need to build fellowship with. Maybe that God is saying that here's our areas of fellowship that we need to strengthen. But we need to go down and find out who are the people involved, and we need to contact those that are involved with the problem in the way that God shows us we need to contact them. Reaching out into all of the areas of the problem that are there, that we might deal with it properly. Now, as we face problems that come into our lives, if we could just learn three things. If we could just learn to deal with our problems directly, that means going to the person involved, going to the people involved, and not going to everybody else and spreading it around and trying to gain friends here and form a camp on this side, but going to the people directly. Secondly, not only dealing with our problems directly, dealing with our problems immediately, not waiting to see if they'll go away, because they will not go away. They don't go, they just grow. And thirdly, dealing with our problems completely, not just trying to get off the hook the simplest way possible, but determining who are the people involved and how can I deal with this thoroughly as the Lord would have it dealt with. And I think as I was working on this message this week, just how much grief I could save myself if I would only learn to deal with my problems directly and immediately and completely. And as a church, may God give us the ability, the determination to do this. Face them face to face right away in every aspect. And then our problems wouldn't get to be as great as many times they do. Now, of course, our greatest problem is our conflict with God. Romans 5:10 tells us, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." That's the first problem that has to be faced. And if you've never faced your problem with God, if you don't know that you have come to a peace with God, then this is the first conflict you need to deal with. The conflict between your soul and God. As you seek to establish your own righteousness and God says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." As God desires to be your righteousness, to lay down the conflict and come to Him. Say, "Lord, I cease from my own righteousness and I trust Christ as my righteousness." We have the promise that even though we are born natural enemies of God, nevertheless, we can be reconciled to Him by the death of His Son. God gave His Son to die for our sins. And if we will ask forgiveness of Him, we have the promise that He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins. And we can come into a peaceful relationship with God. But the principles still apply. When you go to God, go directly. Don't try going by way of some other intermediary. Go right to God. We have access to God by Jesus Christ. Go immediately. Don't put it off. I don't know of any sadder words than to hear a person well up in age who, when they were young, heard the gospel and knew what they ought to do and didn't do it, and have felt that they wasted their lives. What a sad way to finish our lives. Go immediately, and then go completely. And some people come to God, they'd like to have Him just solve what they feel to be their biggest immediate problems, but not to really get involved in their lives. And when we go to God, we've got to go completely. "Lord, here I am. Just as I am, without one plea." Go completely, not dealing with it halfway, but dealing right down to the matter of your will, giving your will to God. And then we read that the peace of God will come into our hearts, now having peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Or maybe as a Christian, maybe there's something that God, some conflict you've been dealing with. Go to it directly, go immediately, and go completely. And if we can learn this, we'll save ourselves many, many years of problems and trials. So we pray. Father, we thank Thee tonight that first of all we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that should there be tonight some in our midst who have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that at this moment they will come to Thee. Come to Thee directly, O God. Come to Thee directly and deal with Thee face to face as You've told us to do. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come directly and immediately and completely and deal with sin. We thank You that You've promised whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, Father, after having come to Thee for salvation, we pray that Thou wouldst help us to face day by day the conflicts that You permit to come into our lives in the very same way, and that we might deal with them directly. Keep us, we pray, from spreading information that should not be spread. Help us to come immediately, not to hope that our problems will go away. Help us to come, Father, completely. Deal with every aspect. We thank You that as we fulfill the scriptural principles in doing this, this will be a great source of joy and peace in our lives. Because You've told us that when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies, the source of conflict, to be at peace with Him. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.